Our study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 to chapter 4, verse 6, identifying God's true Holy Spirit behind true spiritual fellowship. So 1 John 3:24 claims that we know God abides in us or fellowships with us by the Spirit which is given unto us. That would, be the Holy Spirit. Many Christians wonder, how to identify this Holy Spirit so as to be sure they are saved? It seems probably about every 3 years I run into a Christian who comes up to me and they're in agony and they're saying, you know, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. And I said, wait a minute, you know, I've heard you testify of Christ and everything. Yes, but I'm not sure. I don't feel saved, or I don't remember an actual moment when, you know, everybody else talks about a testimony when they went forward in an evangelistic service or they prayed to receive Christ. I just believe this, and therefore I don't know if I'm saved because I don't have a good memory of exactly when I crossed the line. How do I know that I'm saved? I've had people who are members in our church who've been a number of years who'll take me apart privately and ask that question. And so this is something, it's a situation that creates a lot of agony. But there's a solution. 1 John 4, 1-6 gives specific evidences of the Holy Spirit's presence in a believer. And we view them to be able to discern the Holy Spirit's presence and thus to gain assurance of our salvation. Let me start reading at 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Go to chapter 4, verse 6. And he that keeps his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit. That's capital S, the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit which he has given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Messiah is come in the body or the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Messiah is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard it said that it should come. Even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God does not hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay. We believers can know that God abides in us, that he meno, that's the Greek word meno, which or remains or fellowships with us. It's the same word that is used in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 and 7, of fellowship with Christ. John uses the word meno, to remain in, to speak of one's personal fellowship, compatibility with God. That's different than salvation. Salvation is the sonship, the position that we have in Christ. The fellowship is the current state, whether or not we are actually in communion with God in the Spirit. That's the different situation. So you might have a friend, but you might have a falling out with a friend. But when you haven't fallen out and you're having communion with the friend, you can talk with each other and you're having fellowship. That's what meno means in Greek. Now, one way we can identify this fellowship is by means of the Holy Spirit that God gave us when he justified us upon our trusting in the gospel of Christ for salvation. That's why he said in verse 24, hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Now, when did God give us the Spirit? There is a whole school of thought in Christendom, often in the charismatic movement, that says that you don't have the completeness of the Spirit until you've spoken in tongues or something else. But the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if we don't have the Spirit, we don't even belong to Christ. In fact, Paul told the Corinthians, by one Spirit have we all been baptized into Christ. And later on in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he mentioned that not everybody spoke in tongues, not everybody did this, not everybody did that, and yet they'd all been baptized by the Spirit of God. So a person receives the Holy Spirit when he believes in Christ as his Savior. That's why there's this marvelous change that occurs when a person becomes saved. In my life, there was a phenomenal change when I accepted Christ as my Savior in May 20th, 1959. It was a tremendous transformation. Came from a status of being extremely anxious, very combative in relationships and so forth, and all of a sudden changed dramatically from that and became much more peaceful, cooperative and everything. My mother noticed the change immediately. And so there's a change that occurs. That happens because the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell us. Now, however, it is important to test the spirit behind a person. For many false prophets enabled by errant spirits, that would be evil spirits, have gone out into the world. So he says in verse 1, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This is a very interesting observation. Can I say something here? Behind every religious speaker is a spirit. It's either a false spirit that is enabled by Satan, or it's the true Holy Spirit of God. And you've got lots of ministers out there who are behind the pulpit who are not operating by the Spirit of God. They are operating by another spirit. Everyone who's preaching spiritual in the spiritual realm, teaching the spiritual realm, is operating by a spirit somehow, one way or another. That's why he's motivated. So we have to test the spirits. Now, an illustration of this problem, for example, it's important to test the spirit behind a person for many false prophets enabled by errant spirits have gone out of the world. An illustration of such a problem is given in 1 Kings 22:19-23, where a lying demonic spirit equipped all of King Ahab's prophets to prophesy a falsehood. In fact, there's an interesting account there that the prophet of God says, the Lord was saying, how are we going to get Ahab up to Ramoth-Gilead so that he can be slain? And one angelic messenger said this, and one said, finally a demonic spirit said, I know, I'll go be in a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his false prophets. And the Lord said, go. Now, he didn't say lie, but he said go. He let him go. So the Lord let this demonic spirit work in all of the prophets. I think there was like 93 prophets or something. And they all lied and said, go, the Lord will give it to you. You'll have victory in the victory at Ramoth-Gilead. And so Ahab went, and of course he died. He was killed as a result of wounds sustained in that particular battle. But this is true. All of those prophets had a demonic spirit who was behind them. This shows the power of a demonic spirit, one demonic spirit affecting all of these prophets. Now, we have to be very, very careful and judge the spirits. Well, we can discern the Holy Spirit's presence by a specific test of our confession of faith, and that's given in 1 John 4:2-3. First, every person who confesses. Now, this is very important because we had an elder in our church one time who talked to a Mormon, and he said to the Mormon, can you say that Jesus is God come in the flesh? The guy says, yeah, I can say it. I don't believe it, but I can say it. So he said, Jesus has come in the flesh. But then he repeated, but I don't believe that. Well, that's not confession. The word confession is homologeo. Homo means one, or saying the same thing. Logeo means to say the same thing as. When you confess, you're saying, I believe as my faith that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Now, it's interesting, when this elder was asking this Mormon, he said, I can mouth the words, and he said, Jesus is God come in the flesh, but I don't believe that. That's not confession. Confession is, I believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Incidentally, if you're wondering where I come from, I personally believe that Jesus Christ is the creator God come in the flesh. Now, according to the Word of God, I wouldn't be able to say that except by the Holy Spirit. So, just in case you were wondering, and just in case I was wondering, you know, we'll get tested out there. Every person who confesses, the Greek word being homologeo, publicly acknowledge as one's own belief that Jesus Christ has come in the body is one whose spirit behind his confession is the Spirit of God. However, every person who does not get around to confessing as his own belief that Jesus Christ has come in the body is not a person who has the Holy Spirit of God. Did you notice what I said there? You can have a false prophet or a false teacher get up in the pulpit, and he can talk about Jesus in ways that you might think, man, this person is a believer. But if you were to ask him, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh? Can you say that as your belief? You corner him, and he won't do that. He won't do that. He just can't make himself come to do that. So that's what you need to do. You need to test and find out where this person is at. So every person who does not get around to confessing as his own belief that Jesus Messiah has come in the body is not a person who has the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in line with this confession is another confession wrought by the Holy Spirit that Jesus is God. That confession is in 1 Corinthians. That's not included in this passage, but I'm going to use it because that's another one that tests the presence of the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus anathema, that means accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, that means God, but by the Holy Spirit. So that's another test. Now the reason John at 1 John 4, 2 and 3 focuses only on the confession of Christ's incarnation and not his deity is likely due to John's interest in 1 John of countering the Gnostic error. And the Gnostics denied that Christ's deity could unite with anything material like a body because they believed that the material world was evil. And so they would deny the incarnation of Jesus because they thought there's no way that Jesus being God would come into an earthly body since an earthly body is evil. And John counters that. He says, no, the material universe is not evil. It's neutral. John reveals that the spirit that does not confess that Jesus is God come the body is the spirit of the Antichrist who is yet to come and whose evil spirit is now already in the world. 1 John chapter 4, the last part of verse 3 says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, the spirit that doesn't get around to confessing that Jesus is God and Christ. Wherefore, if you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. This shows us that the spirit of Antichrist, or the demonic spirits that are going to be behind the Antichrist, are already in the world, and they're just waiting. And when God removes the seal and so forth, then the Antichrist is revealed, then the candidate at that particular time is going to be totally empowered by Satan, and he will demonstrate that he is the Antichrist ruling by Satan's power. Now, an exciting truth is given to us because talking about the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist, a lot of times that causes consternation and fear in Christians. So there's a marvelous truth that John slips in here in verse 4, where he says, you are of God, little children, or born ones, and have overcome them. That's overcome the Antichrist or the spirits of the Antichrist. Because greater is he, that's the Holy Spirit, that is in you, than he, that's Satan, that is in the world. There's a song that we used to listen on a record all the time. Greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's a wonderful truth. The Holy Spirit who indwells you is greater than Satan. And because of that, Satan cannot break the seal of the Spirit of God. So he can't break your seal so you can lose your salvation. Also, Satan can't deceive you. If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit and relying upon the Holy Spirit, Satan's not going to make headway with you at all. The Holy Spirit will be your guide and be the discerner who discerns, equips you to discern between truth and error. You'll pick it up. Even a new believer, if he's fellowshipping with the Lord, he might not know everything about theology, but he'll recognize that he's running into error. I've had believers who have listened to Herbert W. Armstrong on the radio. Of course, he's a cultist. But when he talks, at first it sounds like he's all right, but if he goes on and on, eventually you find out he's teaching salvation by the law, he denies the resurrection of Christ and so forth. And I've had believers, new Christians, come back and say, you know, I thought he was a godly man, but I have a problem. I just found myself feeling very uncomfortable with what he was saying. I said, well, what's his name? They say, well, Herbert W. Armstrong. I said, ta-da, the Holy Spirit was protecting you. And then I go on and share that with them. So that's a wonderful truth. The Holy Spirit in you is greater than the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of Satan. Then we come to another test of the Spirit. We can also discern the Holy Spirit by a test of allegiance to certain teaching in verses 5 and 6. People in the world who do not truly know Christ as personal Savior and who do not have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them are of the world as to their spiritual source. So they speak of the world's viewpoint, and the world hears that viewpoint so as to accept it as being upright. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. I've been amazed. There's some conservative talk show hosts I listen to, and I can tell they're not saved because even though I might agree with a lot of the views that they have politically, every now and then they talk about things pertaining to salvation and Christianity, and they're way off in left field, not even close. In fact, they're in the stands or so far off in the field, not even close. So you know they don't know the Lord. They just have no comprehension of the truth. However, the apostles, the we of verse 6, who are speaking to the readers of the epistle, as identified in 1 John 1, 1-4, he says, we are writing these things unto you that you might have fellowship with us, and that's the apostles, are of God as to spiritual source. So he who knows God in truth will heed the apostles' words and doctrine, will give heed to the apostles' words and to the doctrines. That's where he says, we, the apostles, are of God, and he that knows God hears us. But he that is not of God will not hear us. So all you have to do is check the New Testament writings that were written by the apostles. And if people can't stomach the writings, then they're not of the Lord. But if they do, then you have evidence that they are of the Lord. This is why you'll have people who go to church to hear the Apostle Paul. He'll preach on something, he'll write something like, I do not allow a woman to exercise authority over a man because, and then he goes on and gives his readings. There are some people that say, absolutely not. I don't care if Paul wrote it. You know, there's no way we're going to go with that. Well, where's the Word of God? So you have to have it there. The apostles wrote that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. A lot of people don't accept that. In fact, one of the early forefathers of America went through his Bible, took a pair of scissors, and every sentence that he found in the New Testament that he didn't like, he cut it out. And his Bible was full of holes. He felt that he had the right to, you know, critique the Bible because he just felt it couldn't be true in these first parts. Well, that gives evidence that he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Because a person of the Holy Spirit would submit to that Word of God as the authoritative Word of God. He wouldn't cut anything out of it. So if I mentioned his name, you'd be surprised. But he was one of our founding fathers in our country. However, those who are not of God as to spiritual source do not heed the apostles' words. In this test regarding the responsiveness or the lack of it to apostolic teaching, we can discern the spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error that originates with Satan. This is why he says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Of course, the spirit of error comes from he that is in the world. That's Satan who is in the world. And we know from 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, that Satan actually controls the whole world, the whole unsaved world. It's in his arms. And he has complete control over it. So we identify the presence of the Holy Spirit in a true believer when, number one, he acknowledges as his belief that Jesus is God come in the flesh, and two, when he accepts the apostles' teachings. All who do not acknowledge or accept these things do not have the Holy Spirit, and they are not true Christians. So in application, if we question whether we have the Holy Spirit and thus are truly saved, may we apply these tests to ourselves, and if we fail them, may we put our faith in Christ. You might want to test yourself, see if you can make these confessions of faith. If you can't, it's an indication you don't know the Lord and you need to believe in Christ. But if you can, you have the evidence in the writing of the Word of God that you have the Holy Spirit. Like Paul said, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So you have to have the Holy Spirit if you say that as your belief, same as Jesus is God come in the flesh. So if we question whether we have the Spirit and are saved, we need to apply these tests to ourselves. If we fail them, may we put our faith in Christ. Of course, if we don't fail them, we can rejoice. But may we use these tests on all religious teachers. Use it on me. Use it on every speaker, if you want, who comes through to our church. Use it on the Sunday school teachers. Use it on someone you listen to on the radio, or if you're listening to somebody on a Christian TV station. Put the test on them. For many with errant evil spirits behind them have gone out into the world. Many, not just some, and gone out into the world. They're like missionaries. These are Satan's missionaries who have gone out to promote errant theology. And they're all over the place. There are many ministers, messengers of Satan, who stand behind the pulpit. That's a surprise to a lot of people, even a lot of Christians, but it's true. A lot of them are not messengers of God. They're messengers of the evil one because they deny. In fact, we had a fellow in our church was listening to a man at a funeral. He felt that he, well, I don't know if this guy's safe. So afterwards, he asked him if he believed that Jesus Christ was God come in the flesh. He said, well, that, you know, some people believe that, but no, we all have a spark of divinity. That's typical liberalism. But he didn't mean God in the unique sense at all. And he was surprised to find out, this believer in our church, surprised out that this man would come right out and say that he just didn't believe Jesus was God in any unique sense at all. Well, that's not the Spirit of God. And this is a minister who was in Torrington. He's not there now. He's retired. So take the tests. Use the tests. And that way we can be sure of what's going on in the spiritual realm.